This meeting is called to order on, what is today, January 17th at 3:31 PM. And I'm going to give the roll call. Those present are, I am Susan Mitchell, Board President, Board Candidate President.
Jen Scott, Vice President.
Joe Schell, Board Member.
Chris Benjamin, Board Member.
Lance Manlove, Board Member.
Alan Stafford, Director.
Steve Burke, Board Member.
Janet Owens, Director.
Martin Cosgrove, Board Member.
Debbie Bees, Board Member and Teacher.
Lauren Wisely, Board Member.
Chris Moody, Board Member.
Trish Hamilton, Director.
Okay, we have the minutes from our board meeting on November 29th. Has everyone had a chance to review it? Does anyone have any suggested changes to the minutes?
I have a suggested typographical error on page 3.
Sorry.
That's okay. Second sentence, motion, instead of the motional past.
All right, take the AL off motion on the third page.
If it was emotional, it would make a little more sense.
And apparently I wasn't here or I was just not.
You were nowhere.
I forgot Joe.
At least I didn't see my name.
So you were here, right, Joe?
No, I wasn't here.
You weren't here.
I don't think I was here November 29th.
No, you were here by phone.
I should put my name in as a clerk by phone.
Okay.
Andrew, did you get that?
You get that?
I'm sorry.
Joe Schell by phone, present by phone.
I wasn't listed either place.
Oh, sorry.
Any other suggested changes? I make a motion to approve the November 29, 2017 minutes with the change of adding Joe Schell was present by telephone and taking off the AL in motion on the third page.
Second.
Jen seconds. Any comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Director's reports.
Okay, I have five items I'd like to alert you to. The first item is the mural project from Freeman Foundation. A number of you were present. Some of you participated in the mural project that John Donato came in and the Freeman Foundation sponsored that. It was a wonderful event. I think we talked about it last month. But one of the things that the Freeman Foundation does, if you have in your hand a bookmark, okay? The Freeman Foundation takes, is their procedure to take one of the books, to choose one of the bookmarks that the children have done, or choose one of the books that's done, and make a bookmark.
Hmm.
And so this is the bookmark, you have the copy of the bookmark that was chosen. I believe it was chosen in concert probably with the middle school teachers and John Donato. But this was done by one of our students, and it was done by Stella Caldwell. And how creative. Any of you that know anything about ballet, okay, we recognize that that it's very creative bookmark.
Is the word point spelled this way? Is that a ballet term?
Yes, that's a term.
I was a little worried about our English.
It's separate.
But the double meaning's neat, too.
But the double meaning. Exactly. The use of light, this is an intellectual bookmark. It's not just a piece of art. There's an intellectual aspect to this.
Has everybody seen this mural?
Yeah,
I think everyone
has. Anybody missed seeing the mural down at Canada? Adrian, yeah. For the gym. Everybody seen it?
It's
phenomenal. Yeah, absolutely phenomenal. We could have paid $100,000 and not gotten anything that good.
Okay. So, anyway, I wanted to share that with you. So, when you're reading, please use Sussex Academy's bookmark. The other thing that we also did, the Freeman Foundation gives us a plaque. And so we put that plaque up. I also asked. We have taken one of these bookmarks and we've had it framed both back and front to the place there, while the bookmark is there, or the, her painting is there, thought having the memorabilia of a bookmark as part of the school's history is kind of important. So, anyway, enjoy this, and those kids did a great job. Second item I'd like to mention is I want to talk a little bit, I don't have anything that I've given in writing, but I want to talk a little bit about curriculums and curriculum instruction areas that we're working on, thinking about, working toward. First is mathematics. I've come to you before and said to you that internally we feel we need to work on our mathematics in the school. So what is that going to look like? Well, our math department is meeting. Certainly they're looking at the data. One of the things that I've had a discussion with them about is bringing somebody in here on a short-term basis, and it'll be very short-term, a math person who teaches high math, has an administrative background, has a curriculum and instruction background. I can sit and talk to him about math, and I'm a decent facilitator, but I'd like to have someone who really knows the depth of understanding in the mathematics. So this particular person is going to come in short-term, have some conversations around three things. Number one, the plan is to go in and watch some math classes to see what the flow and the stream of our mathematics looks like. The second is to have a conversation, and when I use the term conversation, you know, that's just my way of saying they're going to meet, they're going to talk, they're going to dig in, they're going to come up with using data on, you know, what is it, what do we need to tweak, what do we need to do. And then they're going to set about a plan. One of the ideas being bandied around, I'm just telling you so you don't get, and philosophically, I'm in a place that I don't know about, well, I do know about my own philosophy, and it's educational philosophy born out of research. It's not born out of just what I think. But one of the ideas we're bandying around, don't know if it's going to happen, don't even know if it's a good idea for the school. If we want to get more kids prepared for IB math, we've got to do one of two things. We either have to have more kids in academic challenge, or we have to ratchet up our mathematics in middle school. And by ratcheting it up, I'm talking about accelerating it by 1 year. Not for all students. Now, I'm not talking about all students. I'm talking about those students that could do it. And we've got some kids that could be, their math could be ratcheted up. So we're not there yet. I don't even know if we're going to go there. But I'm putting it out on the table to you so that if it eventually goes there, it's not the first time that you've ever heard it.
What does that look like? You would have like a...
It looks like instead of having five sections of sixth grade math, I've got a little chart. It might be four sections of sixth grade math coming into sixth grade and one of seventh grade math.
So kids, we test? Test into that?
The answer is we don't know the answer to the question. The answer is we're going to have certain kinds of data anyway that they're going to come here with, or most kids are going to come here with. We might test, we probably would test. We're not going to base any decision just on one test, however. And from any given year, okay, we may have a group that's, some years we'll have five sections of Algebra 1 in 8th grade, okay? Not all years we have five sections, because we don't have all kids that can take Algebra 1 in 8th grade. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is there's the potential, but that's also a philosophical question, because we don't fundamentally put kids together, particularly when they come in here based on their academic ability. Our middle school has operated in large part off what is known as a heterogeneous model, which means everybody's together. The only place that it doesn't operate off that in classes where we have, we may need more help, particularly those where there are special ed kids, so we have parents in classes. There may be a tendency in mathematics particularly, or other subjects, let me not just say math, English, or reading, depending on the nature of it, where there may be a little more homogeneous grouping. But it's not homogeneous grouping at the high end, okay? It's more homogeneous, yeah, are you saying?
In math, we do.
Oh, in math, okay, in math.
After grade six, they give me, before the kids get scheduled for grade 7 and 8 math, the groupings they want based on testing data and other criteria.
But you may not have that same thing. We're not, I don't think the intentionality is necessarily group them in English and
no.
and reading,
no.
or reading and writing. However, when you group one set of kids, if you're taking 25 kids out of the mix or 30 kids out of the mix, then you've got less mixture to go on in the other four sections.
Mm-hmm. Right, those kids pull the other side.
Yeah. And then if you're also running a group that struggles a little more, okay, now if you've got a high end and another end, then you got a middle end. Okay. Anyway, I'm putting it on your radar. There's no decision made. There's a conversation going on, and that's part of the conversation.
So it is my impression that Delaware lags behind the math.
Everybody lags. I mean, the truth is, Susan, the truth is, mm-hmm. everybody lags behind the math.
So I know we want to get more into IB, but it seems like math as a whole needs to, not just to get more kids into IB, but that everybody needs mm-hmm. to, mm-hmm. yeah, okay.
Sure. It'll help SAT scores too.
Pardon me?
It'll help SAT scores too.
Yes, yeah. It will. Absolutely. So again, no decision, but hopefully working through this process with the math people, we're going to arrive at a decision. It's also, in my mind, somewhat aligned to the whole question of NYP, mm-hmm. which is another area. No decision's been made, but Alan talked at some point about the NYP models. NYP model can be 9 and 10, right? Middle Years Program, I'm sorry for the acronyms because you may not know what I'm talking about. I apologize. The International Baccalaureate Program has what is known as the NYP program, and it can look in a couple of different ways. It means middle years program. It does not mean middle school program. It means middle years program. And that middle years program can run 6 through 10. It can be a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It can be an 8, 9, 10. It can be a 9, 10. We don't know yet where we're going. But one of the things we do know in MYP, if you move it into the middle school level, you've got to have a language component. There's got to be a foreign language component in it. Now, the rub for us, and the place that gets people in this school, at least some people, me, I'm one of them, kind of shirking my shoulders a little bit and getting uneasy, is that you only got so many periods a day that you can teach in. Okay? And because you've only got so many periods a day you can teach in, you got to make decisions about what you're adding, what you're taking away, what you got to do, what you don't have to do. We're one of the few schools in the state that gives a double block of time every day of the week almost to reading and writing. I think there is little question in most of, certainly in the English teachers' minds, and probably if I were to go out in the middle school, across the middle school minds of even math teachers, that has held the school in good has held students in good stead in terms of teaching and reading, writing, and to become much more literacy efficient and effective.
Mr. Crum, if you're in the building, can you call extension 2911? Mr. Crum, extension 2911.
So as this math question slides in here, okay, another question slides in under the MYP program. In the MYP program, if we were to move the MYP program into 8th grade, it means we would have to find a time slot and teach Spanish. Well, I say Spanish, it could be Chinese, but it's not going to be Chinese because...
Nobody can teach it.
It's not going to be Chinese because we have Spanish as part of the high school program. So what you're going to do is you're going to teach Spanish. Again, there's no decision has been made. It's a difficult topic to wrap arms around because of the success we've had with literacy and kids taking double block of reading and writing. But something might have to go. Whether it's reading or writing, it might not have to be, but something would have to go, which you get. You only got so many periods in a day that you can teach kids. So the MYP program, no decision has been made. We have two teachers, Alan, going.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cam's going for Category 2 Spanish because they've changed the curriculum.
Okay.
And Colin Marine is going for MYP coordinator training in February.
And probably were we to do MYP, Colin Marine, who's a new teacher here, very learned guy, working very well here for us. He'd probably be the MYP coordinator in all probability. But he's going down. The other thing we're going to do, we're going to reach out, and I say we administratively, we're reaching out to other MYP schools to have conferences and dialogues with them about MYP. Is MYP what it's supposed to be? Isn't it supposed to be? You know, are you getting enough bang for your buck out of this deal?
Are there any in the state of Delaware?
Yeah, there's one at Tally.
Mount Pleasant.
Oh, at the Tally?
Well, Tally's the feeder for Mount Pleasant, but Mount Pleasant has it in their own because they just do grades 9 and 10.
Is that a public school?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mount Pleasant. Where's that?
North Wilmington.
Wilmington. Yeah. Mount Pleasant High School.
They don't do 11 and 12, so they just
they
do 9, 12, 9, the, 10.
9, 10 is MYP and 11, 12 is DP.
They don't go down to 8, they're lower.
So they have a middle school that feeds into them that does MYP in middle school.
That's Tally.
Mm-hmm. But they're just Mount Pleasant is a high school.
Right.
Gotcha.
And so French school just does what we're doing, 11, 12.
I believe so.
I'm not sure.
Wilmington French?
Yeah, Wilmington French is one of the original.
Right. And that's who we had come in who worked with us when we did the high school. So that work is what I'm saying is that kind of work is going on this spring. So one is math, two is MYP, and three, and this is important. In high school, you're required to have something called career pathways. And we have two career pathways, and we intended to only have two. It's a sequence of three courses that kids have to take, and the courses are supposed to be in sequence in a particular area. We do the STEM, and we do communications. The STEM is, in our view, much better delineated with much better delineated outcomes, right? The STEM course is what's known as a CTE course. CTE mean Career and Technical Education. There are monies that come with that course. We have had conversations, and again, when I say conversations, meetings, there have been multiple people involved, the teachers involved, recently, we have made the determination that next year, I use words like probably and maybe because it makes people feel comfortable. We're planning on moving toward having this CTE pathway that is in the process of being designed at the Department of Education in Delaware. And the CTE pathway is a communications pathway, and it'll be a series of three courses. It'll be a series of three courses wrapped around the concept of design. And when I use the term design, I'm talking about color, texture, line, draw, how you see stuff visually. that's also wrapped around something called raster graphics. Yeah, we're going to follow the course, hear me, Mr. Moody. We're going to follow, probably follow the course that Kent County Del Tech has, okay? Because they have a course that is, they have a series of courses that are articulated with the Department of Education, a series of three courses. Del Tech South does not have that same set of courses, nor is that same set of, they've got courses kind of around it, but not the same set. So we're probably going to move in that direction. With moving that direction, it's going to take an infusion of money. Some of that money is going to come from CTE, because we won't get it next year, because we're not in a position, we're not in the time sequence to make it happen for next year. What would happen next year, when school year starts, this information would be compiled and would be submitted to the Department of Education, just like we did, if you all remember, with the STEM courses. Remember Tim Elmer and the STEM courses? Okay, all the stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we would do the same thing, and we would submit that with the expectation that we would be approved. But again, Alan's not sitting here now. I've said this, but I haven't really said it real loud because I don't like to say these kinds of things. It's gonna mean an infusion of money. Okay, you can't do it without money. In my view, we need to replace our standalone lab. We need another set of 30 computers, and we're probably going to need some video equipment and some other kinds of stuff over time. So it means if we're going to do it and do it effectively, we're going to have the technology. And this is basically a technology-driven, communications course.
So is this a third pathway that we're adding a third?
No.
We're
tightening up communications.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we're tightening it up.
Okay.
Is this pathway a high school pathway? Is
yes.
It middle school?
High school.
Middle school and high school?
It's a high school pathway.
So these two pathways.
Pardon me? I'm sorry, what's that?
So these two pathways, either STEM or communications, is a high school thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any STEM courses in middle school?
Yes. Right now, yes.
What are they?
We have two. Or I think we have two.
One's a coding class.
One's a coding. And the other is the same, a design tech class.
Is this CIS 120, this intro to computer programming?
No.
No.
That was something we offered a couple summers ago.
Well, I don't know what these papers are.
That's high school stuff.
That's not high school courses.
No, that's not it.
That's high school?
That's high school.
That's a course that appears on some of our seniors' transcripts because they took it during the summer two summers ago. But it's no longer here. We have AP computer science principles now.
Yeah, that was just one of the things I was going to bring up is there any ability or any availability for enhancement of STEM courses in middle school? Like, the reason we're bringing it up is the coding is extremely important, and I see it firsthand every day in the work that I do, and the there's big disruptors coming in industries right now that we need coders, and they're hard to find, and to start these kids earlier and earlier, there's no real resources out there for people for real coding classes.
And so what we did, we had a group that Tim Elmer headed up. He's our STEM person. We had a group last year, the year before.
Year before last.
And so we moved forward to do this, the STEM stuff, and also introduce a coding class. And also try to, because we didn't have, we don't have, well, Tim Elmer probably can teach coding. But he can only teach, he's only got so many hours in his day. So we went out and made an arrangement with Del Tech to teach a coding class in the summer. So I don't really know if I've answered your question.
But in the middle school, we have a coding class that starts at grade 6. They do it 9 weeks,
six.
Rotations, grade 6, 7, and 8. And then we just introduced a new project, Lead the Way, that has a lot of coding in it for second STEM class in the middle school, and all students take it for 9 weeks, grades 6, 7, and 8.
So the project Lead the Way and the coding class, and they got two of these things going on for 9 weeks. So every sixth grader, every seventh grader, eighth grader is taking two courses. Sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade. Sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade. One wrapped around design tech and STEM, okay, and the other wrapped around coding. And then moving into the high school, right now we're not teaching a specific coding class, correct?
The AP Computer Science Principles has some coding in it, but it's more about the logic of coding than learning a particular language.
Okay.
I think it's Java-based, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's more web.
So what, probably what I see us more doing, we're not going to produce coders, okay? What we're going to do is we're going to produce kids ready to take, to be able to do that at a college level. My grandson does it, okay? He's University of South Carolina, and he's doing all that stuff, whatever all that stuff is.
Yeah, it's about creating a spark, you know, and like my fifth grader, she's really excited about it. So there is no resources for it. So I teach her myself, and mm-hmm. it's something I think it could be applicable. And if someone, there's a, it's a Raspberry Pi, it's a $30 computer, mm-hmm. and they have, you build your own computer and you mm-hmm. can do things with electrical circuits, make a light bulb light up and turn off a motion sensor, and you actually program it, it does something, and you get a response from it. I mean, to see the light bulb go off, and they're like, oh my gosh, I did that, you know? That's what I think could be, I mean, those things are cheap too. Like, if there was a class associated with being able to physically do physical computing, which is coding with a reaction to it, I think you would have a plethora of opportunities that would open up for these kids, would be like, wow, I can do that, you know?
Well, right now,
versus just going through if then else.
Well, you know? But the program, what we're using, okay, is designed and meets the criteria at the Department of Education for us to get CTE credit. Now, when I use the term CTE, it means money. It can provide teaching, and it can provide, we've got a new deck of computers that we haven't had last year, 30 new computers, okay? They came out of CTE. So I don't know if I'm explaining enough to you or not. I think we're on the same page with it. We think it's important, or we wouldn't have tried to implement. It may not be exactly what you're talking about, but we're trying to go down that route in tandem with the Department of Education, who's they got more people than us doing this stuff.
Gotcha.
Okay. So those two items. So does anybody have any question on maybe where we're heading? So put the dollar sign out here. I got the dollar sign out here. Make sure you understand there's a dollar sign.
So when I
he's going to be asking us for money sooner or later.
When I last talked to you and Alan about MYP, it was my impression that we were a go for grades 9-10, but not as sure for 6-7-8, or where are we with that?
We're still in the same place. I think we're going 9-10, and I think everybody in the high school
is on board.
We haven't said, do you want, we haven't said that. I think we're going there, but we're reluctant to say we're going there until we get enough information with a coordinator who's gone to something that can come back and say, hey, here's what I learned, here's more what I learned, here's what.
Okay. Here's another resource for information.
It seems like you've made the decision because you're sending two people for training, and want to be training, Cam and whoever else you're teaching. When's the big expense of NYP hit us? Not with these classes, but when you decide that you're an NYP school?
Next year.
During the candidate phase. The application would be submitted this April, and then if we're become a candidate phase, then there would be the work involved in developing curriculum.
Do we have to go through the same process again?
I think it's the
interviews, the whole nine yards, yeah, same
but,
exact thing.
But I don't think it's going to be as.
So we're going to. It'll take us next year.
Yeah, there is no expedited process. I asked that specifically when I went to the training. There is no expedited process. However, a lot of the stuff we have to submit, we already have done. The different policies have been written and approved. So a lot of that work is done just to be resubmitted.
But we wouldn't implement it until the following. We would do a whole school year implementation, correct? We wouldn't start in the middle of the year.
No.
So we would do next year.
Next year is the would be the application.
And then the following year.
Right, the candidate year, and then the site visit would take place, and yeah.
So I have only talked to one person, but so I'm not sure it's right, but one person told me that they were concerned that grade 9-10 IB was not rigorous enough to get the kids ready for 11-12. So here's a resource that you could talk to just to, I mean, and that's the whole thing. They're investigating is what Alan just told me. We're part of sending these people to training is to investigate, is it really right? Is it going to be rigorous enough? Is it, you know.
And IB has recently done an upgrade to the MYP program.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they did?
Yeah, they just rolled it out like in the last year or so. So,
yeah, we would want to obviously make sure that the rigor is there. Otherwise, we're not any better off than we are right now.
Except that we're losing money paying for it.
Right. That's right.
That's my understanding, too, that IB is kind of a framework, and then you work within that framework.
Right.
So we could take that framework to whatever level of rigor.
Make it as hard as we want it to be.
It's more of the alignment of content, I think, that flows really smoothly into the diploma program.
Well, and I would think, too, like this testing standards and whatnot, like you're dictated to score a certain way and to evaluate a certain way. But you're right, you can build within that.
Okay.
Any other question on those items? Okay, next.
Well, the person I talked to is retired, so maybe he didn't know about the rollout, so. Okay. Go ahead.
Next item I was going to report on, which most of you know about, the lottery. Just as background, we had our lottery today at 1 o'clock, and then it was the sixth grade followed by ninth grade lottery. After that, we had 257 applicants for sixth grade lottery, and 48 of those applicants were preferences. We pulled all mm-hmm. that. We pulled all the applications. We informed the public that the first 105 of the applications, of the pulled applications, would be admitted immediately as we work through them. And everybody else goes on the wait list. At ninth grade, we had 59 applications. On Friday, this is the lottery, but it flows into this. So we don't yet know at the ninth grade how many youngsters we're going to let in. We've also had applications for 10th grade, and we've had an application for or three applications for 11th grade. So we'll be over the next couple of months. We'll be looking at our numbers to determine how many students we're going to let into the ninth grade. And so we will follow the application order in that regard. We don't know the answer. So when a parent says, does my child get in? The answer to that question is, I'm the ninth grade. We don't know yet. Now, if you were number one in the lottery, I'm going to predict you're going to get in. If you were 59 in the lottery, I don't know the answer to that question because we don't know how many of our own kids are going to stay. But leading into that, I have two other things to say. One is that we still have the special preference situation to do, and I'll bring that in a second, or you'll do it later.
I'll do it under committee.
So there's still some work to do in this regard, So that's kind of lottery, but flowing into that, on Friday, we are going to be meeting with all of our eighth graders. We have a breakfast that they come to, and then they hear information from Mr. Bastinelli, from Ms. Messina. They hear information from Ms. Fees. I introduce them. And so the kids learn more about what a high school is like. At the end of that, those presentations, we have 22 students who are all part of our student government, who are going to be coming in, and they're going to be sitting, high school kids, part of the student government, are going to be sitting at the table, and they're going to be talking about the high school, their experiences in the high school. And so they're going to have an opportunity to have a conversation with our high school students. We plan to, there will be a letter going home to all parents about their intention to return. That comes back on a, there's a deadline, a state deadline date, I think it's March 16th. So they have to turn that in, and then we certainly can move down the lottery list if we can't move sooner. Coupled with that, we're going to do an informal kind of assessment at the eighth grade level to try and ascertain who is definitely coming back, who may be coming back, and who is definitely not coming back. Right now, it's still too early because the other schools have the same choice application period that we do. That's mandated by the state, so they don't have a different time frame. Tech has not yet, I don't think, had their lottery. Nobody, I don't know if anybody else has a lottery, but whatever their processes are, they don't know who they're taking yet next year. So, you know, we're kind of all webbed together in this in terms of making decisions. Any questions on that?
How do you deal with some, we put a lot of people today on the wait list for sixth grade. When they are, that class is going from eighth to the ninth. Does that wait list still impact as compared to the new ninth grade applications we have?
We have. We send letters out and ask them if they still want to be part. I think that's how we're doing that, Andrew. Yeah. We send letters out and say, if you want to be part of this or not. If you want to be part, submit an application.
You need to reapply.
For ninth grade.
Yeah. So after eighth grade, those numbers go away.
Mm-hmm. We ask them.
They work for sixth and seventh and eighth, but not for beyond. I've always been confused by that.
Yeah, we've asked them to reapply the last 2 years, and we've taken all...
Last year we took everybody.
Yeah, we took everybody last year and the year before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This year...
But this year we're a lot more.
We don't know.
So the 59 that we got should include anybody that's had a sixth grade application and really wanted to come back, they would have reapplied.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to leave somebody out there because they've already, you've communicated with them, but you can't.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We hope not.
That's great. Thanks.
And the lottery results are on our website, so.
That's on there?
They're on there.
Okay.
How many applications do we have last year? So they're on the same?
Around the same.
I don't have 260 something.
253, I think.
Oh, less last year.
Yeah.
Okay, just a few. Okay.
Two other things. Not going to spend any time tonight, but Janet and Ellen and I have met. Remember our talking about Tyler's Camp and the group that came in and used the school last year and they ran Tyler's Camp? We're probably going to pursue that. We are pursuing that again this year. There's been a meeting, so we're going to run Tyler's Camp this summer. Our kids, it's basically to do good things with kids in the summer, and we'll have kids that will be able to be invited to Tyler's Camp. So she sent us some stuff recently. We're not a long ways from having it. We're going to have it, but we're a long ways from worrying about it.
What is the camp?
It's a camp that is run through a grant from...
Well, I think it's a foundation that was established after a student from Salesianum was passed away, maybe in a car accident. I'm trying to remember. And so that's the first campus they started running it on was the Salesianum campus. And now they've tried to expand, and they've asked to use our facility the last couple
What's
summers.
What's the campus?
It's sports,
for rising sixth and ninth graders to sort of prepare them and engage them in what they're going to be doing when they change from elementary to a middle school or middle school to a high school setting.
It's geared, predominantly it was geared toward youngsters who perhaps didn't have as many opportunities in the summer. Okay, so they were inner city kids and didn't have opportunities. So it was camp designed for them. Boys and Girls Club down here has taken it on. as one of the things they want to engage in, so they have Boys and Girls Club kids as part of Tyler's camp.
If we had Tyler's camp here on our campus, would we have just our kids or kids from all over?
Kids from all over.
Our kids got a preference last year of enrolling, didn't they?
Yeah, we didn't have that many kids want to enroll.
Did we market it to our parents?
Well,
yeah.
It, last year sort of came really, really late.
It was late,
yeah.
Really.
Like,
I remember it was
she approached us like in May and wanted to run this in July, and right. There's not a lot of time to get it. So we've already started. We've met before the holiday, mm-hmm. and she's already started marketing it. And she's provided us with some ideas of how she may get more of our students involved in it. Yeah. They'll be here,
so
I think, for orientation.
I'm trying to think of the name of the foundation.
Phelps.
Sorry. I'm looking at you because there's a lady there who is very connected to other foundations, who is very connected to Tyler's camp, and is a promoter of Tyler's camp. I just can't think of this. Okay. But,
you know. Ars Cannon?
Thank you.
Chris Cannon's name.
Yes.
When you're looking at me first, I couldn't remember the person's name. It finally came to me. The process is a little slower than
these days. Okay, that's Tyler's camp. Finally, the last thing I'd like to do, and I'd like to turn to the other fees. We don't have like a full-fledged rollout here in terms of where all our kids are going to school. I would say to you that Debbie does an absolutely outstanding job in all areas of getting our kids geared up to apply to do things they need to do. She's a force behind them and moving them in terms of their interests, in terms of looking, in terms of taking them to places. And she has two things she wants to share. Debbie, one's something called the profile that I want to talk about, and the other is she had another handout for you, and this is a preliminary handout. Go ahead, Debbie.
Well, I think you guys are looking at the handout about the college acceptance list. So this group was exceptional in that pretty much by Thanksgiving they were wrapping up, which is really great. That meant that we have more acceptances now than we would have the year before. But we are still waiting for a lot of schools. They won't hear back until even early March. So. I anticipate that by the March board meeting, I'll pretty much have a final list of, and this is where they've been accepted to. So there are some students that have been accepted to four of these schools. But I think the stats down at the bottom, 56 out of the 58 applied to a four-year college.
That's great.
The two that did not, one is going to be a vet tech, so she's had her eyes set on that ever since I've known her. So she's going to Del Tech. And then another one is actually his mom works at Del Tech, and he wants to study computers, so he gets the free tuition, and it's a perfect fit for him. So we may have more that decide to go the two-year, you know, with coordinated four-year degree, hopefully. More of the students took advantage of the early decision this year than last year, which I think is why we have some of the kind of big names on that list too, because that's where you really leverage your admission rates. The one that was denied was a Cornell, and Cornell apparently has an office of denial at this point rather than an office of admission. And then one was pending because she did second round of ED, that was due January 1st, so we're still waiting to hear back for that one.
So are these early decisions, acceptances, and rolling admissions?
Yeah.
Is that what they are?
It's okay. And early action.
There's early decision and early action.
And early action. Okay.
Yeah. What's early action?
So early action is where you apply by an early deadline, so you find out early, but it's not binding. You don't have to go there like early decision.
So is that a strategy that you would recommend now that you've seen the successes that you would recommend for kids moving forward, early decision strategy?
I would never recommend an early decision if it was not the absolute front runner and a good fit academically, personally, financially for the family. So it's something that warrants a big discussion and great certainty in that decision. But having said that, yes.
Yeah.
Did you know the five that were the early decision on here?
Wake Forest.
I know.
Georgetown.
Georgetown.
Georgetown was early action, actually. They don't have an early decision. The early decisions were Rensselaer, Syracuse, Villanova, Wake, and
was it Villanova?
Yes.
Villanova, yes.
That's five.
Is that five?
Well, no, the one was early action, though.
Was
it?